If you're involved in ministering to other women, you know what it's like to feel pressure.
So often you feel depleted, unappreciated, disrespected, disregarded.
You try to share the truth with women and they don't want to receive it, and you watch their lives fall apart.
As a leader, you never feel like you're doing it very well. You never feel like you have it right.
If you're a pastor's wife, a counselor, a ministry leader, a Bible study teacher, a small group leader, if you're involved with women's ministry in any way, I want to encourage you to get refreshed and refocused at a conference that we've designed just for you. Revive Our Hearts, the same ministry that's brought you the True Woman Conferences, is now presenting Revive 15, Women Teaching Women. Jen Wilkin will be speaking. She teaches a large Bible study for women based out of the Village Church in Dallas. She's also written a terrific book called Women of the Word. Jen has a passion for getting women into God's Word and teaching them how to share it with others. And then I'll be teaching on how to communicate the Word of God to others in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with the desire that God will use it to transform lives. Also at this conference, Lauren Chandler, whose husband Matt Chandler pastors the Village Church in Dallas, she'll be leading us in worship. And then there are other friends like Andrea Griffith, Trillia Newbell, Paula Hendricks, others who will help you grow as a writer, a speaker, or a worship leader. Revive 15 is coming to Indianapolis September 25 and 26. You can get all the details at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Now, one of the Revive 15 speakers, Andrea Griffith, knows what it's like to feel weighed down by condemnation.
I think that there are so many women in churches today that we have these skeletons in our closet. We have all the grave clothes on, and we don't know that the other one has it.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for May 1st, 2015.
This week, we've been listening to the testimony of Andrea Griffith. Like many of us, from all outward appearances, Andrea looked like a perfect church member as she grew up. But the truth was that her heart was far from the Lord. Over the last couple of days, Andrea has described her lifestyle of immorality, abortion, and rebellion, even while she was ministering in churches across this country. I first met Andrea when she joined the staff of Life Action Ministries, which is the parent organization to Revive Our Hearts. Andrea was on one of our road teams traveling and visiting churches promoting revival. And it was during this season that Andrea was convicted about the need of her own heart to be revived. Even after having confessed the sin of her past and surrendered her life to the Lord, Andrea became physically ill and needed to come off the road and move back in with her parents. During her years of traveling with Life Action, Andrea had met Trent Griffith, who was another Life Action team member. Trent is now a pastor at Harvest Bible Chapel in the South Bend, Indiana area. As we pick up the story, Trent had a surprise for Andrea.
Well, a few months later, I'd come home from work, and I walked in the front door of my house, and my mom said, "Something came for you today. It's in your room." So I walked over to my room, and I opened the door, and there sitting on my bed was Trent. And he was supposed to be up in Ohio somewhere doing a conference, but instead, there he was in Huntsville, and he said, "Come on, Andrea, let's go up to your parents' property." So we drove up to my parents' property where they were building a house, and there was a little stream there. And he started quoting all these verses and saying all these things. And I thought, this sure sounds like a proposal, but I'm sure that's not what he's doing. I'm sure it's not a proposal. And finally, he pulled a ruby wedding band out of his pocket. And he said, "Who can find a virtuous wife, for her price is far above rubies." Now, I certainly did not see any virtue in my life, but God had quietly been rebuilding behind the scenes. And what I've learned since that time is that is God's specialty. He loves to take the broken places in our lives, the places where we've totally blown it, the things that we are so ashamed of and hope nobody else knows, where we think we can never minister out of that. That failure was just too big. God loves to take those broken things and make them into something he can use to give us back beauty for the ashes of our lives. And so I said yes, and we were married December 17th, 1994. And in order for me to be married to Trent, I needed to come back on the road and be traveling. I was still sick. I was still taking the antidepressants, still not doing really well. And the first Sunday back, I just got up that morning and got before the Lord and said, God, I want you to teach me something today. Show me something new in your word. I've heard all these messages before, but I want you to teach me. And so I walked in, and that morning the man was talking on bitterness. And he started talking about the characteristics of bitterness, how that when we're bitter, that we're overly sensitive, that we assume negative, and that we have a critical, fault-finding spirit. And I thought, okay, this guy is describing my life. And then he went on a little further, and he started talking about how bitterness shows up physically in your body. And so he started saying how you have no rest and no strength. And I thought, he might as well just put my picture up there because he is describing me, but I am not bitter. And I thought about all these people that I had forgiven. That was one of the first things I had to do after I came to know the Lord, was I had a list of people I needed to forgive. And I had done that, but I know he's describing my life, and I'm thinking, God, I do not know who I'm bitter toward you. If I'm bitter, you're going to have to show me because I don't see it. I am not bitter. And God, finally, I just got still before the Lord, and he spoke to my heart, and it wasn't an audible voice. It was louder than that. I felt like I'd been shattered. I just remember God said, Andrea, you are so bitter towards yourself. You have never accepted the forgiveness that I gave to you when I died on the cross. You are so bitter at yourself. I remember just saying, you're right, God, that's it. And I got up out of the service and I went and I found Trent and I said, I am so bitter. And he looked at me and he said, I know that. Our husbands know when we're bitter. Those closest to us, they know when we're bitter. In Hebrews, it says, see to it that no root of bitterness spring up among you, defiling many. Bitterness is a root issue. It's under the surface, and we think that we can keep it under the surface. We'll be bitter, and it's in our hearts, but we're just going to keep it down there. But you know what happens? That bitterness, it springs up in us. It comes out of our mouths, and it defiles those closest to us. Our kids, our husbands, our parents, the very ones that we don't want to hurt, we hurt. Because of our bitter spirit. Bitterness is simply harbored hurt. Harbored hurt. It's just unforgiveness. And it's not some great big thing. It could be as simple as your husband saying something to you and it hurts your feelings. And you just don't let it go and you're bitter. It can be a simple small little thing. Or it can be some great big thing in our lives. And we walk around with these bitter spirits. And so I knelt there with Trent, and for the first time, I thanked God for my past. Now, you don't thank God for sin, but I thanked God that he was big enough and sovereign enough that he can take the mess I've made and use it for something that will bring him glory. Do you know the story of Joseph? When Joseph saw his brothers again, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And it is the same way in our lives. You don't diminish the evil that you have done. I met with another lady and she said, Andrea, you know, you had one abortion, but I had many. She said, and I cannot get over that. How do you do it? And she was, as we talked, what I realized is she was trying to minimize the sin. You do not minimize the sin. You look it square in the face, as evil as it was, and you let it break your heart over the evil that you've committed. And then you move from there, and you see a great big God who is so much bigger than our sin. He's so much bigger than our failings, that when we put those failings and that sin in His hands, He's able to fully forgive and then work all things for our good and His glory. He's that big. He does that. Well, after I thanked God for my past, I got up off my knees and I literally felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And we went on down the road to the next church and I just said to Trent, "What do you think about me not taking these antidepressants anymore?" And he said, "Okay, why don't you try it?" I stopped taking them and I never missed them. Gradually, I got my strength back. Gradually, I got my health back. I had made myself sick for 2 years. All because of my bitterness and my pride. My bitterness and my pride. I thought it was humble for me to think that I had to crawl through broken glass to get back to God. I thought it was humility that made me say, "Oh, I'm just this secondhand Christian." Do you know what that was? That was the epitome of pride. Because you know what I was doing? I was believing my own thoughts and feelings above what this book says. There's a perfect example of this in John chapter 11. You all know this story. It's the story of Lazarus. And it says, the man who had died came forth and he was bound hand and foot with wrappings. His face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Well, that was me. I was in the grave when I came to know the Lord that day in the prayer room. And Jesus called me from death into life. Well, I came out of that grave. He brought me from death into salvation, from darkness into light, that day that I got saved. And I had on my grave clothes. And at that moment, Jesus said, "Unbind her and let her go." But you know what I'd been saying for years? "No, God. Please don't take those grave clothes off. No, God, I deserve these grave clothes. I know I stink. I have the aroma of death on me. I know I cannot live a very effective Christian life as I'm bound. I know I'm not an attractive Christian to the people that are lost looking from the outside in and they're seeing my life. But don't take these grave clothes off. I deserve these grave clothes." And you know what? I do deserve those grave clothes, and so do you. But God is so gracious and merciful that He died on the cross to remove my grave clothes, to bring me from death into life, to pay the penalty of my sin. The gospel is not just sin that's forgiven, it's sin paid for. He paid for my sin. I don't pay the penalty for that. He paid the penalty for that. And when you realize that, that makes the blood of Jesus so precious that He did that for me. And it makes the preciousness of who He is and His sacrifice so much greater. As all that was happening in my life, I like telling that story because I think that there are so many women in churches today that we have these skeletons in our closet. We have all the grave clothes on, and we don't know that the other one has it. And we all think that we've arrived and that we're all perfect and that, you know, she's never done anything like that before. But we all have skeletons. We all have issues. And I have certainly not arrived. That was just the very beginning. And every day, God shows me something more. And I don't know where this has hit you today. I don't know what specifically God has spoken to you about. But I want us to end our time with Isaiah 61. And then I just want us to take a time to draw a circle around ourselves and let God speak to our hearts before we rush back into the busyness of our day. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now look at that list. Does that list look like God is waiting for you to crawl over broken glass to get back to him? No. Do you know who that is? That is your enemy who walks before the Lord and is an accuser of the brethren. And today, God wants each one of us to make the great exchange, to say, God, all I have to give you are the ashes of my life. God, I've blown it. I have nothing to offer you but ashes. But your word says, when I bring you those ashes, you'll take it and you'll make something of beauty out of it. God, all I have to bring you today is a heavy spirit. I'm stressed out. I'm burned out. I'm heavy. And God says, you give me that heavy spirit and I'll give you back a garment of praise. Some of us, maybe we have hearts that are full of mourning, and God wants to make the great exchange and give us the oil of gladness. They don't do this at Walmart, okay? You don't bring some piddly little thing and put it up there and they say, take the greatest thing in the store. But my God does that. So as we end our time together, I just want you to draw a circle around yourself. What has God said to you? Are you bitter? Do you need to forgive? Do you need to make a great exchange today with the Lord? Are you sure you're saved? That it's not just lip service, but it's a life of walking with God. Are you broken? Is there something that God has been saying to you, do this, and you've said, no, I will not, and you're not broken? Lord Jesus, you taste better than anything in this world that the world has to offer. God, your word says to taste and see that you are good. And Lord, we have tasted and we know that you are good. I pray that you would give us hungry hearts for you. God, don't let us live our lives in complacency, but with a longing for you, a thirst for you. Let those needs drive us to you, the only one who can meet our needs. Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you that you are our portion and that everything you do is good. I pray for these ladies that are here today. God, I ask that you would just place a hedge of protection around them, that you would continue to speak truth into their heart all throughout this day. And God, if there's any business that they still need to do with you, today they would find the time to get alone with you and do it. You are so great. Help us to recognize that and to be drawn to you. I pray that you would make us oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that you would be glorified in our lives. We love you, Jesus. We need you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
What grace is mine that he who dwells in endless light called through the night to fight my distant soul, and from his scars poured mercy that would plead for me, that I might live and in his name be. Take up my cross and follow him. is mine. To know his breath alive in me. Beneath his wings, my waking soul may soar. All fear can flee, for death's dark night is overcome. My Savior lives and reigns forevermore. So I will go wherever he is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in him. I give my all to gain the hope that never dies. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him.
Well, regardless of what your past sins may be, God can provide forgiveness and freedom. Andrea Griffith has been illustrating this as she has shared candidly out of her own journey. We've heard her story over the last 3 days, and if you've missed any of this testimony, I hope you'll get a copy of the CD or listen to the audio at reviveourhearts.com. After hiding an immoral lifestyle for many years, Andrea finally discovered what it meant to be free. She walked through a difficult but joyful process of confession, brokenness, and surrender. That led to her releasing the bitterness and extending forgiveness and clearing her conscience with those she had wronged. And it was then that she was able to begin walking in honesty and holiness. I like to call this the process of personal revival. And it's a process that I've described in a workbook called Seeking Him. God has used this workbook in the lives of thousands and thousands of people over the years who've used it as a tool, an instrument to lead them in experiencing the joy of personal revival. I hope you'll get a copy of this workbook and take these important steps yourself. As you work through seeking Him in your personal time with the Lord, you'll discover the freedom that comes from being right with God, that's the vertical dimension, but also being right horizontally with others. You'll also learn the joy of walking in the Spirit and continuing in a lifestyle of holiness and humility before the Lord. If you're feeling the need to move forward in your relationship with the Lord, I hope you'll get a copy of Seeking Him.
When you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the workbook that Nancy has been describing. Ask for Seeking Him when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or make your contribution at reviveourhearts.com. Well, today's the final day we'll be making this offer, so let us hear from you right away. We'll send one book per household with your donation. Today's guest, Andrea Griffith, will be participating in the Revive Our Hearts listener blog today. That means you can interact with Andrea and ask your question. Just scroll to the end of today's transcript at reviveourhearts.com. So if you're a mom, do you see your job as a mission? Nancy's good friend, Jannie Ortland, will show you how to engage in missional mothering starting Monday on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.